I'm kidding, of course. Hope you had a good afternoon. It was fabulous to see everyone that was here this morning. And looking forward to the message again tonight as we continue to part two. So the overall arching theme or title for both is it's all about what we know we have. And so this morning we looked at what we have. This evening we're going to look at what we know. So if you're able and you can stand for in honor of God's word tonight, 1 John chapter 5, we'll read our text again. 1 John chapter 5. So we stand in honor of God's word this evening. 1 John chapter 5, we're going to read our entire text again so we can keep and make sure we keep our context. Verse number 13 to begin. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death, I do not say he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God, and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this wonderful day. What a beautiful day it's been. Thank you so much for the sunshine. Thank you so much for the wonderful temperature. Thank you so much for the visitors that you brought to us this Sunday. We're thankful for them. We're thankful for all those that are back this evening, faithful to your house. We pray that you send each one a special blessing. We're thankful for this opportunity to look into your word, to study your word. We're thankful for the freedom that we have to meet in this place. And we're thankful for the opportunity we have to support and send our missionaries around the world to spread the gospel as well. Pray that you speak to our hearts tonight, Lord. If there's anyone here, even in this building tonight, or maybe watching on a video, Lord, that they might know for sure that they're on their way to heaven. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing in honor of God's word. Now that we have seen what we have in Jesus Christ, it's also important to realize just what that does for us. And if we gain some information, we gain some knowledge, we should be able to or should desire to apply that to our hearts. If you like to read, and I encourage you to read Proverbs, the book of Proverbs begins with a lot of knowledge, begins with a lot of information. My son, understand this knowledge, my son. And then he begins to apply it to what you have learned. If you go to a job and they teach you things and they show you how to run a machine, or they show you how to sell a product, or they tell you how to do these, do a particular task or a particular responsibility. Once they give you that information, they expect you to do something with it. If they teach you how to be a salesman, they expect you to sell. They expect you to do something like that. My father used to sell vacuum cleaners door to door. And he did that for a little while and sold vacuum cleaners. Some of y'all might remember the good old days, as we examined a few weeks ago, encyclopedias. Did anybody ever sell encyclopedias door to door? No one used to do that. Nowadays, you don't really need those kind of things. But if you have an information, you're expected to do something with that. My son, Landon, right now, he's really into the science, and he's really into that stuff in school. And so every time we go to a zoo now, it's like we have a guide with us, because now he just wants to rattle off everything he's learned. And I guess that's a good thing, but that sometimes we just want to look at the animals. But you're expected to do something with it. You're expected to do something with it. So God says, now that you know what you have eternal life. You have a Heavenly Father that can hear you and wants to hear from you. You have a Heavenly Father that desires to be a blessing to you, desires to answer your prayer. He desires to do things for you, to protect you, to preserve you. He desires that in your life. He desires to hear you, to pray for, and maybe even intercede for a wayward brother or someone who needs Jesus Christ. We have that information, so now we should do something with it. We have this information, and so what we have gives us knowledge about what we are and how to handle life around us. And so I want us to see tonight three more things that Christians knows or that they should know about some particular things. And so first of all, there's some things that we should know about sin. If you look down to verse number 18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. I wrote in my notes here, many think too lightly about sin. For far too many, light sins are no big deal. We have this idea in our world today that we like to rate certain sins. We like to rate certain things. We would think of a murderer or an individual did something like that. That's a terrible, terrible, terrible sin. And it is a terrible sin. But then also on the other end, we like to have our light sins. Christians, we like to have our sins that don't really matter too much or that we can control those kind of things. But God wants us to understand within our life, in verse number 17, all unrighteousness is sin. God sees it equally in an equal way that we may live a life that seems like we're a lot more righteous than others, but we're just as sinful as anyone else. The Pharisees believed themselves to be very righteous people, but in fact, Jesus Christ had more harsh things to say about them than many other people. And so we have this idea that as long as I don't do the big sins, I'm okay. As long as I don't do the bad things, I'm good to go. I think about it. Have you ever noticed how many only ask forgiveness for the big sins? Consider it this way. When's the last time you asked God to forgive you for speeding? James 4:17, therefore to him to know it to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. When was the last time we asked God, Lord, I know I shouldn't do those things. I understand that I should obey the authority and obey the laws that were given to me because government was ordained by God. So forgive me for those kind of things. You see, we have bad sins and we have some that, you know, they're not quite so bad. We run that red light and we think, oh, well, nobody got it. We took down the red light camera, so nobody sees that anymore. But God says, I want you to understand in verse number 18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. John is looking around to our life and he wants us to understand in 2 Corinthians 5, 15 through 17, that we're new creatures. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. So when you trust in Jesus Christ, our Lord and personal Savior, things change. There's a difference in life that should take place. Things that were fun to us before maybe are not this fun to us anymore. Things that were repulsive to us before now are a great thing. Think about the lost world. The lost world doesn't understand why we go to church on Sunday night. But my friends, I love going to church on Sunday night. I love going to church on Wednesday night. That's when I get to meet with God's people. And I'm pretty certain I don't have to worry about foul language here at Harvest Baptist Church. I don't. I love to be in these kind of places. But you see, there's a change that takes place in life. And so now once I know Jesus Christ, my Lord and personal Savior, verse number 13, and I know that God hears me and that He's listening to me, then it changes the way that I live. It changes the way that I act. John's not saying here that we are going to be perfect like Jesus Christ because that's not possible. We have this. Some of this is a little more stretchy than others. But we have this, we have our flesh, and the Bible says that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. So as long as we have this flesh and we're corruptible, we will sin. But my Christians today, as John has already explained in verse number 16, it should not be a lifestyle to live in sin as a child of God. It should not be a lifestyle to use foul language. It should not be a lifestyle to go to places where we ought not to go. If we went to the bars before we got saved, we don't go to the bars after we got saved. Life is different. It's changed. There's a difference. We're new creatures. Don't you? I've loved the illustration because it applies so well. But don't you remember, guys, how free you were before you got saved? Before you got married? You remember how free you were? No one's brave enough to answer that question. No one. Your life changes, right? There's a difference. I'm going to be honest. I only had one girlfriend my entire life, Miss Oster. I only ever dated one girl. I asked God, I said, the first girl I date is the first one I want to marry. So I've only ever dated one person. My wife will never find a picture of an old girlfriend. She may be old, but she'll finally find her. And so when we got married and I roll over that first day and there's somebody in your bed with you, whoa, your life is different. My dad would always say, whoever you date, make sure you surprise her one day and see what she looks like without makeup. I'm kidding, of course. But it's different. Once we know Jesus Christ, our Lord and personal Savior, it changes who we are. Because God says in verse number chapter 5, verse 1, if you look back to verse 9:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. You see, our whole life changes. Our love changes. Our desire changes. Once we know Jesus Christ, our Lord and personal Savior, we desire to please God. Or we should desire to please God. If somebody says, well, I'm a Christian, I'm saved. And yet you never see him in church. Or you never see him on a Wednesday night. You never see him there. You have to maybe question a little bit. Are you sure that you really love God as you ought to? Our life changes. And John says we don't sin anymore. We know about it. And sin cannot touch us, the Bible says in verse number 18 at the end. But he that is begotten of God keepeth him, and that wicked one toucheth him not. What it's saying here is John saying that sin no longer has dominion over us. You see, the Bible says that Satan can be resisted. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. We don't have to be overcome by him. In fact, God says that all the things that he tempts us with, God will always make us and give us a way of escape or to escape. The person that keeps himself in the fellowship and close walk with the world is not, with the Lord, is not defeated by his flesh. He is not defeated by Satan's temptation. Have you ever had to try to break a habit? It's really hard to break sometimes. But if we're really going to help God to ask God to do that, then we can do those things through the power of the Holy Ghost. When I was at Central Park Baptist Church, we led this man to Christ. And he was a heavy smoker, heavy, heavy smoker. He came to us and he said, preacher, I want to break this habit, but I've tried everything I can try. I've tried everything. I just can't break it. Well, my pastor rightly said, now you have Jesus Christ in your life, the Holy Spirit's going to help you break your habit because that's not something you ought to do. And so we're going to help you. And so Brother White told me that since I have the Sam's Club card, he said, what we're going to do is we're going to give you Jolly Ranchers. Every time you have a temptation, I want you to get your Bible, put a little Bible in there and keep some Jolly Ranchers there. And every time you're tempted, I want you to get out your Bible, start reading your Bible, and eat a Jolly Rancher. And he told me that you give him as many Jolly Ranchers as you want. That man put away bags and bags of Jolly Ranchers. But eventually he came and said, I don't need Jolly Ranchers anymore. But what I do want is a good Bible. The Holy Spirit helped him change his life. He went away from the things of the world and no longer was he tempted anymore. My father used to be a drunk before he was saved. And of course, I didn't know him. I wasn't born yet. But once he got saved and he trusted in Christ as Lord and personal Savior, it changed his life. And so he made a choice, and I believe he still follows this. He will never walk by an alcohol section in any store. So traditionally, it's always weird. You ever notice that the alcohol is next to the milk? But my father will literally walk around the entire store to get to the milk in order to avoid the alcohol, and he'll walk all the way back around. Why? Because I'm going to avoid the temptations. I'm not going to let Satan have that victory within my life. He's really trying to live verse number 18. It's all about sin. Sin is destructive. It destroys our walk with Christ. Satan does not make us sin. We choose sin for ourselves. The good old phrase, the devil made me do it, is a lie. We choose to do that. Second of all, there's some things we know about sin. Second of all, we know about who we are. Verse number 19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. John draws a very stark contrast between us and the world. We are of God, and the world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God has come and have given us understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even his Son, Jesus Christ. And so first of all, we see about our sin. Second of all, we can know about who we are, and we are of God. God says we are in heritage. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We are of God. We are no longer of this world. We have life, and we have life eternal. God says in John 10:10 that we can have life abundantly. Doesn't mean we may not be the richest people in the world, but we can be the happiest people in the world. We may not have all of the world's goods, but we can still have the goods that God gives to us. God gives us eternal life. John 11:25-26, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now think about it. We have answers to prayers. I've talked to many folks that are in the hospital going into a surgery or facing a difficult situation. And I've heard it many, many times that they're thankful that they can sit there and know that their Heavenly Father hears them and listens to their petitions and hear their prayers. And they're thankful for a church that prays for them and loves them. I've walked by many a door in a hospital of a lost individual with hopelessness and a sadness in their face as they sit alone. We don't have that. We are of God. We're not of this world. This kingdom is His. This kingdom is wickedness. This kingdom is injustice. This kingdom is of sin. But we are of the Lord. And we know that we are of God. And the world lieth in wickedness. You see, the world wants to stay lost. Satan wants to keep us lost and keep the world lost. But we have life everlasting. Have you ever looked in a mirror and said, thank you, Lord? Not really many. Aren't you glad God made you the way you look? Okay. All right. I gave you all a chance to be just a little bit vain. You did. I didn't hear you. It counts. I'll take it. But have you ever looked to see that's an everlasting life? Have you ever considered just what God made? God says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. But not only that, He gave us everlasting life. We had a lady in our church at Mountainside. She said, I know what we're going to look like in heaven. All the skinny people are going to be fat in heaven, and all the fat people in heaven are going to be skinny, just so they can see what it's like. Just so they can see what it's like. But you can look, and because you have life, and because you have life abundantly, and thinking about who you are, you can say, thank you for giving to me everlasting life. There's something about us. It's different. I remember when we first showed up to Argentina and Roy picked us up. We landed on Valentine's Day, February 14, 2007. We arrived in Argentina and Roy came to pick us up in the airport and we got everything to his house and he said, let's get some sandwiches. Let's go down here and get some sandwiches. So I was walking along with Roy on the streets and just walking along with him and he said, man alive. Oh, I said, what's the matter? He goes, man, you are sticking out like crazy. I said, what do you mean? He said, you're walking straight, you're way too pale, and you're too tall. You're sticking out like a sore thumb. I said, so what do you want me to do? He says, after a while, you'll learn to slouch like an Argentine because they kind of drop their shoulders, and they're kind of a little darker complected because I walk like an American. He says, man, you can't walk like an American in here too much. You're going to have to stop that. I said, well, I don't know if I can help it. I don't know if I can help who I am. And people can see us, and they like to listen to us speak English. And so in Argentina, personal space is not the same as personal space here in America. And when they hear you talking in English at Walmart or grocery store or whatever else, you look back and there's an individual's face is literally right there. And they just want to hear your, they're just listening to you speak English. And they can see there's a difference. There's something strange about those people over there. Not just because I'm strange looking, but because I'm American. And they like to see it. And they can know there's something different about me. But you know, even more than that, the world ought to see there's something different about us. There's something different in the way they look, the way they act, the way that they carry themselves. There's something different. My wife and I have been asked many times, are you guys Christians? We've been asked that. Really, it's really strange because we've been asked more in Arizona than anywhere else, are we Christians and what church do we go to? I don't know if that's a condemnation of Arizonans themselves, but it's a blessing. You know, it's easy to invite people to church when they're already asking you about where you go to church. But there's a difference about us. You see, John is helping us understand if Christ has given to us everlasting life in verse number 13, and if God will hear our prayers, and if God will listen to us and shine upon us and make us one of his own, and if we are born of God, then it would change who and how we live because we are of God. We're different. Something about us. We're not of this world. We're of the Lord. Thirdly, we know about sin. We know about who we are. Thirdly, we know about the truth. Verse number 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and have given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true and eternal life. It's interesting that the pronoun has changed. In verse number 13, we can see that John is speaking specifically to us or to an individual. These things have I, John, writing by the through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. And so now John has changed the pronoun here to verse number 21. So now he's speaking in the personal possessive plural, we. Us. John is helping us understand that it's not just his message, it's our message. It's not about what he's telling us to know the truth. John is going to help us understand that we now have the truth. If you look back to 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, John gives his personal testimony, his personal witness of his experience and his physical experience with God as he walked with God. And we've touched him, we felt him, we heard the word of life. And John says, now that we know Jesus Christ, my Lord and personal Savior, I'm not the only one. All of us are witnesses of the truth. We know Jesus Christ is our Lord and personal Savior. An atheist may come to me and say, well, there's no way that you can truly know God. Well, sure I can. He's right here. But I'm not the only one. I can point you to a lot of people who witness the exact same thing. It's not an individual. It's not an individual experience. It's a corporal experience. The church knows who he is. But you see, this Son, this God, this Holy Spirit, he gives to us understanding to know the truth. And that the truth is God. We know the truth of Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. We know that he is the one that gives everlasting life. We know that he is the one that is coming back. We know all of that because he speaks to us here. He speaks to us here. And he's the only one that can do that. The Bible says at the very end of verse number 20, it's a declarative statement. This is even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. My little children, keep yourselves from idols. You see, if we know the truth, it's easy to spot a fake. Don't you ever get annoyed? I get annoyed when I go to a store and I hand somebody a $20 bill and they start looking at it like it's a fake. I personally just get annoyed by that. Because if I'm going to fake a bill, I'm going to fake a good one, not a low one. But they take that $20 bill, they're smacking it, they're rubbing on it, they're running their finger on it, they're trying to make sure. And really the reason why they're doing that is because somebody in the past has handed them a fake bill. But bankers get quite good at that. They can spot the fakes, they can spot what's not true, and they can spot it really fast. My wife and I were at a store, Bath and Body Works, and they handed us a fake $1 bill. And you could tell it was faker than fake. The guy handed it to me, and I looked at it, and I said, this isn't even real. I need a real one. He said, well, I have to close the drawer, so I'm sorry about that. I'm like, so I can't, this is not real. He goes, oh, well, it looks pretty good. I mean, it doesn't matter. This is not a real one. So we had to walk all around. He goes, well, you'll have to find a manager if you want to get a different one. This is like the most helpful guy ever. So we chased the person around and we handed it to her. I said, I'm sorry, but we were just at the register and we need a real bill. And so she said, I'm sorry about that, and gave us a real bill. You know the good thing about being a child of God? Is we know it's real. And we know it's here. And we can read the Word of God and know that this is true. And when you read something else, you know that it's false. But all of that is because we know that we have everlasting life. Every head bowed and every eye closed this evening. First and foremost question that has to be asked, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior? Do you know Him? My friends, when we know Jesus Christ, our Lord and personal Savior, He reveals Himself to us and reveals some truths to us and gives us the truths of the Word of God. He will convict us of sin and show us how we ought to live, how we ought not to live. Sometimes we might get angrier or frustrated over the conviction of sin, but in reality, it's a good thing. Because God is showing us where we ought to go, where we ought not to go. He's showing us what we ought to say, what we ought not to say. He's showing us what we should not do and what we should do. Aren't you glad that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior? John is telling us he's glad that he's of God. I want to encourage you today, as soon as we begin our invitation time, I encourage you to come to the altar and thank God for allowing you to be His son, His daughter. Aren't you glad you're of God? Aren't you glad that you have everlasting life? When was the last time you came to the altar and just worshiped the Lord, thanked Him for who you are and what He's allowed you to be? My friends, today we know the truth, and the truth is in God's Word, and the truth is Jesus Christ. So we stand to our feet this evening as the music begins to play, as our brother begins to sing. Perhaps there's one here. I always want to give the opportunity for one to know for sure that they're on their way to heaven. How about you today? How about you, child of God? Would you come and worship your Lord? Would you come and tell Him thank you for giving you everlasting life? Thank you for revealing the truth of Himself to you. Thank Him for giving you the Word of God. Thank Him for making you a special person.